The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody, to the official space section of the Charter.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Sir, you're out of order.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Real Debaters Podcast. I am Michael.
I'm Rob Strachan.
And we're back for you, listener. Just for you. And you.
And you. And you. And you.
Fuck you. You're cool. I'm out.
No, it goes, fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. I'm out.
Welcome back to the show.
Oh, no, there's another fuck you.
There is another fuck. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
We fucking butchered that shit.
We did.
But that's, you know what? Everybody understands what we're getting at.
They know. If listeners listening, they know.
And if you haven't seen Half Baked, then fuck you. Just kidding. Go see it. It's really good.
You could call me a master of the custodial arts or a janitor and be a dick about it. This week on the show, you got me and Rob. We're doing a real talk for you, as the credits say. And this one, because Napoleon's coming out this weekend, and me and Rob had so much fun doing our top 10 Martin Scorsese, we've decided to do another one. We've shrunk it in half. So we're going to do a top 5 Ridley Scott in honor of. We're going to talk about what his filmmaking means
to us. So we're each going to do our own 5, or no. Do you want to do a combined 10?
I want to do a combined 5. I want to give you 2.
Can we do 7?
What do you want to do 7 for? I hate this. It's odd. I don't like that.
I like that it's odd.
Really?
Well, so is 5. 5 is an odd number.
Okay, well, yeah, but 5's faster.
They're both primes.
So we're going to do 5 to 7 Ridley Scott movies for you.
They're both not part of the Fibonacci sequence.
And thank you, Da Vinci Code. And
or are they?
Just let me do proper, and then you can fucking, I'll let you loose, okay? And then we're also going to do, we're going to talk about movies that, we're going to review a list of movies that people famously walked out on. I don't know why they're so famous.
So this is like a where there's a specific scene that offended somebody, and they were so offended, they got up and they paraded themselves out of the theater.
Yeah.
And then made a big thing about it on social media or in the media after.
I think this was before, because some of these are older movies, but if they're newer ones, they would have done that. They go outraged. They go to the outrage machine. Yeah. Before we get into it, though, we do have some things I would like to mention that are coming up. December 10th specifically is Movie Trivia Night Part 3, Emily and Jimmy and Michael's Favorite Things. 10 Christmas questions will be given to each of us, and you can come and win some prizes. It's going to be a little brown jug, 336 William Avenue, December 10th, 7 to 10 p.m. Tickets are on sale right now. Link in our bio on our social media, or go to Eventbrite. Just type in The Real Debaters. You'll see it. $6 a ticket. It's going to be a lot of fun. They've decided to throw in some prizes, too. So there's a little brown joke prize pack coming.
I like free stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of free stuff.
If it's free, it's for me.
Yeah, well, I'll buy you a gift card then, make you feel better. To the winner of that night, we'll go some tickets to our next Trivia Night, a $25 gift certificate.
Ooh.
Maybe more, depending on how giving we feel, to Landmark Theaters, because why would we send you to Cineplex when you have to sit up straight? We want to send you to a place that reclines you. So
we want to send you to the movie theater where getting oral is the best.
It's easier.
Is the best. And that's not gender specific.
It's thank you. Little Brown Jug is also throwing in a prize pack for you as well. Again, 7 to 9 p.m. December 10th, Little Brown Jug, 336 William Avenue. Get your tickets. This sells out. We've sold out twice before. We anticipate the best people in town to come again. So if you want to be there, come with us. And then on December 12th, we've already done our soft opening of this. We're now doing Movies and Bingo at The Handsome Daughter, which is 116 Sherbrooke Avenue, if you haven't been there.
So bring your dabbers.
Bring your dabbers. We'll supply the cards. We'll supply some trivia before the movie, and then we'll watch a movie together. And this one, on December 12th, because it's Christmas time, Jimmy's girlfriend Zoe has planned this to a T. She's going to decorate, and we're going to celebrate Krampus. That's what we're watching. I've never seen it. Have you seen Krampus?
I have.
Is it good?
It's kind of freaky.
Yeah, I hear. It's like what the shitty people get at Christmas time, right?
It's
some European fable.
Well, it's about, like, Krampus would basically kidnap naughty children.
Okay.
And so that's what parents would tell their kids, is like, do you want fucking Santa to come, or do you want fucking Krampus to come and kidnap you?
Oh, sweet.
And take you to the depths of hell, basically.
Okay, I'm looking forward to
this. Not to be confused with Festivus.
Yes.
For the rest of us.
Airing of the grievances. Us.
The feats of strength.
So, December 12th, 7 to 10 p.m. At The Handsome Daughter, 116 Sherbrooke Avenue. Just show up. Tickets are at the door. It's $5 to buy a trivia card, and that's it. That's all you got to do. Just show up, have some fun, eat some good chicken, have some good cocktails. And yeah, that's all the alerts and boring stuff that you put up with us each week. So without further ado, let's step off this mortal coil. Rob, what'd you watch this week?
I watched part 3 of Lupin.
You really like that series.
I fucking love that show. I don't know what it is about that show. I think it's just, it's wicked. And you know what? I'm not usually into the dubbed Netflix stuff as much. Sure. Some stuff I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I was really into, what's that German one? Dark. I really like that one.
I heard that one.
I liked Rain, yeah. The Danish, Swedish one. But this one, I just like it. He's, you know, you've got Omar Sy. He's so good in it.
That's the lead, right?
Yeah, and you know, even though it's not his voice, it's just everything comes out in the performance so well.
Well, and he is French, right?
Yeah, and it's just, he's an awesomely debonair character, and it's just great.
And he...
Lots of awesome twists and turns, and you're like, how's this all going to work? You're like, oh, yeah.
I saw him in Burnt. He played a sous chef in Burnt with Bradley Cooper.
He did.
And I really, I love his French accent.
It's, and he's what's that movie with... Kevin Hart and Malcolm in the Middle. I'm brain farting right now.
Oh, the one where he's in a wheelchair.
He becomes a paraplegic. Yes. and the guy basically helps him. And he kind of doesn't like poor people or black people. And he's feeling sorry for himself. And he kind of comes around. And
yes.
All that. So the original of that was a French movie, and Omar Sy plays the Kevin Hart role.
For listeners,
because he's remember he's a criminal.
Yes,
like with the, he's,
yeah,
he was,
yeah,
he
and
was,
then
he served
it's
his
like
time.
A placement.
He was a felon,
thing.
Served
yeah.
his time. Kind of that's kind of the backstory of it. I don't think he's racist. I think he doesn't like him because he's a criminal or ex-con.
Yeah, because Brian, if I remember, like
it's
Brian,
been a while since I've seen that movie, so I'm probably remembering.
Cranston's character is like got his nose up at society.
Yeah, and he's feeling bad, sorry for himself because of what happened because he was like a fucking. But he was also a fucking asshole in real life, and I think he comes to realize how shitty he was. Anyway.
Coming of age tale.
Yeah, totally.
Heist is about bank robberies?
Lupin, he's the gentleman robber. So he's a thief, right?
Thief in the night.
But he does like different, like lots of different disguises, but he's a super suave gentleman, and it's all about like, you know, like...
If James Bond was a thief...
It's just fucking good, man. It's just good caper stuff, and it's well played, and it's in Paris, so it's very like it's. And they go like
sexy and classy,
sexy, and but then it shows like the dark, gross underworld of Paris, and so it's showing all sides of it, and it's just there's so much history there, and it's just I don't know, I like it.
I
like it.
Yeah, I get it. It looks good.
Yeah, you should watch it.
I do like a good caper.
Yeah.
Right. Like, are we talking art heist, bank heist?
Yeah, like art heist. He robs like a Black Pearl, and then there's like history to some of the robberies that he's doing, and you know, like in the third one, he goes back to try to steal the thing that was the only robbery that didn't go well for him, and he almost got caught, and you know what I mean.
It's his Shelby Mustang from Gone in 60 Seconds.
And there's lots of and there's lots of flashbacks to when he was like a teenager.
Okay,
and like. Part of the reason why he is what he is today and how his relationship is today is based on these previous experiences and that kind of thing. And some characters from the past come back and haunt him in the future and causes issues.
That's what season 3 is about.
That's what season 3 is about. But there's super cool stuff in season 2, and it's great.
Have they done a visit of his past in the other two seasons?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. They revisited each season. They do flashbacks.
Omar Sy.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Yeah,
he was also Bishop in one of the X-Men movies.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Oh, I got to go back and really take a look at that.
Yeah, I can check to see which movie it was, which one it was.
Yeah. No. That's.
Let me check I'll get on that, Jamie.
One day we'll pay somebody to do that. Or just entice them and be like, you're really cool. You should come help us out.
Okay, so that movie that was the original, it was called The Intouchables.
Intouchables, okay.
And then the X-Men movie he was in was X-Men Day of Futures Past.
Oh, okay, the one that I really didn't like. That's the one with, what's his face in it, right? Shit. Sweet fuck.
Elliot Page is in that one.
Elliot.
But when he was Ellen Page.
Yes. No, it's the guy who...
He was also in Jurassic World.
The guy who plays Poe in Star Wars. Oscar Isaac is in that one, if I'm not
mistaken.
Oh,
yes, I think he is.
Yeah, that's the one I couldn't get down with.
Who can?
That said, though, is it like Ocean's 11 type heists? Is it National Treasure type heist?
A little bit like...
Lots of gadgets?
No, not lots of gadgets, but like costumes. And he's just so fucking confident.
Cat burglar.
And he just goes, exactly. So it's kind of like a little bit like the Pink Panther, but without the slapstick.
Sure, okay.
Does that make sense?
Like if everything went to plan.
It went to plan properly, and he was less Mr. Bean and more James Bond. How's that? Is that a good way to put it?
I think you may have me turning it on after you leave tonight.
I think everyone should watch this show. And there's three parts. There's six episodes each part.
Oh, that's easy.
And I think the episodes are 45 to 55 minutes long.
I love it.
And they're not too long, but they're long enough. And it ends, and then you're just like, fuck, I want more.
Give me more, Caper.
And then they've been good about it. They've been coming out about every 6 months.
Yeah, no, and you're the only, you mentioned it a year ago, and a half ago. I remember you sitting right there and telling me about it and just kind of slipped by me. All right, I'll go next on one. I got to bring it up here. It's this new documentary on Netflix.
What's it called?
Twin Flame.
Okay,
have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
elaborate. So, is it about twins?
Yeah, escaping twin flame. I'm pulling it up here right now. Sorry, listener.
Is it got some fucked up thing? Like some fucked up thing happens in their childhood?
No. Well, no. So, all right. So you know how like every cult that's happened has happened to like the boomer generation? Or our generation, there hasn't been much in the last, say, 20 years of, like, interesting, weird cults. Like, Scientology's been around for a while.
What are you talking about? There was that one, Nexium.
You're right. Okay.
With the girl that, remember the girl that was in Smallville?
Good point. Thank you. And I did watch that documentary. I'm fucking so dumb.
Like, that's pretty recent. Like, that's like 8 years ago.
It is. It's within the last 10 for sure. Yeah. Okay, so this is one of those, right? Okay. It's a new age cult. There is this couple.
I kind of want to join a cult, actually.
You might want to join this one. Well, you've already got your twin flame, as they would say. Yeah. But okay, so they believe.
But if you're going to be in a cult, you want to be running the cult.
You want to be at the front, not the back of that.
It's kind of like multi-level marketing. You want to get in early. And
you want to eat first, not last.
Like Human Centipede.
Yeah. I'm fine. So someone's melting my ass. It's coming in me and it's going out the back. Okay, so Escaping Twin Flames, very Nexium-like, very cult-like, run by this couple who believe that everyone has a twin flame, a love, a passionate love in your life that you are meant to see, meant to meet, and you have such a deep level of attraction. It goes beyond lust and beyond physical attraction. It's just they're meant to be together, but they sell you on who your twin flame is supposed to be. And you pay to become better at becoming someone who could find a twin flame. It's very Scientology-based, where the more you pay, the more you learn. But eventually these people, I'm only halfway through it. I've only been introduced to the characters. I don't know what these characters really have done. But what I have seen so far is that the two leaders of the cult believe, Jeff is one of them, and his wife, believe that no matter who you're in love with, you need to be with them. And you need to find a way to be with them, and then you need to share with a group how you're finding a way to be with them. So much, in fact, that this one woman
stalker-ish.
This one woman had a restraining order put against her, and her advice was, restraining orders aren't real, quote unquote. It's fucking fucked, Rob. It is so fucked. It is, and the problem is it's happening to
the... Is there fuck boys in it?
I'm sure some at
and
some point...
And these main characters, like, on a scale of hotness, are they like a 7?
No.
Are they very unattractive?
They're not even a combined 7.
Wow. I might have trouble watching it.
The guy...
Does that make me shallow?
No, it doesn't. It makes you interested. Makes you wonder why someone like that can get away with that. I see that. I do that too. I'm like, why are they together? He's probably got a good heart. I immediately go to the guy, right? But anyway, so what ends up happening in the first episode, and Shauna had to turn it off. It was just pissing her off too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's like, you guys are fucking idiots.
Are you getting secondhand embarrassment when you're watching it?
Not at all.
Okay.
I'm in. I'm locked in. I don't.
But was she getting that?
Oh, she
like,
I get.
Like, I can't. If I get too much secondhand embarrassment when I watch them, I'm just like, fuck this.
It's awkward.
It's not worth my time and commitment. Like, there's too many, there's too, not enough hours in the day.
It's happened, and the victims are like 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds. They're Gen Zers. They're millennials. They're lost in a sea of boomer mistakes, and they're trying to find love.
Maybe some people on the spectrum.
Yes, but
people with a lot of depression issues because of social media.
You know where the hook is in any cult, right? Where they get you. They usually get you when you're weak.
Yeah.
Or when you need something.
Yeah.
They get you.
Or you're lost or vulnerable.
Yeah. they get you when you've just broken up with the love of your life.
Mm.
They get you right
or,
at that.
Or who you think is the love of your life.
And then who they tell you the love of your life should
yeah.
be. Like some people.
Especially if you're like 17 or 18.
There's a podcast about this too, but some people have been like, okay, well, who's my twin flame? And they're like, that woman. And you're like, I'm not gay. They're like, no, that's your twin flame. And they'd be like, okay, I guess I got to be gay. And this, and then they believe it. They fucking believe that these two people are emotional gurus and can convince anybody
and,
on the planet
and
to
how
be
do
with
they
anybody.
Know, like how do they measure that that person's your twin flame?
They have a Zoom meeting and everybody goes in the Zoom meeting and Jeff and his wife preach to everybody and tell you what you need to do to find your twin flame, to invoke the same feelings in them as you have for them.
Yeah, but that could be fucking random.
Uh-huh. Just watch it. Drive you nuts. Drive you absolutely nuts. Because as a, like, and you hear...
What if Jeff and his wife just want to fuck with somebody and they just go...
That's where I think this is going. Like, Sean is like, I'm out. I'm like, great, I can... Yeah. And she's gone away. She's in Palm Springs.
Like,
so
there's, like, some guy that, like, you know, he's really on his... You know, really down on his luck, and then they convince him that like some like 600-pound woman is like his like twin flame.
I'm not there yet, but I think that's where all roads are pointing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the guy's like, okay, in a Zoom meeting in front of everybody. And then the whole point is to reach harmonious love or harmonious kinship. They have names for it.
It's almost
like
a fucked up like arranged marriage type situation.
It's very Western arranged marriage by two cult leaders.
No, it's very, it sounds very like woke gender bending kind of fucked. It's fucked up.
It's so many fucked up shades of fuck. But here's what bothers me about this. I think I'm a pretty knowledgeable guy. Like I know when I'm.
You're like a solid seven,
right? I agree with you 100% on that. I can be duped, but like not to the point of this. Like you could trick me into to.
That's
not
a knowledge thing. That's a you're better than that, I'd say. Like, you know, engaging somebody, that's reading humans and reading a situation. That's totally different. That's a totally different skill set.
When I feel that the wool's coming down over my forehead,
your spidey sense goes.
My spidey sense goes off. I don't understand. And these people say the same thing. Well, anybody could fall for this. No. Not anybody. Stop trying to conflate that the rest of society is like you.
Yeah.
You were lost. You were lonely. You were needy. And someone came around and told you that they could fix a thing.
Especially that type of cult, you know.
And that's
this isn't a mind virus on one of the big religions kind of styles. Which
yeah,
is a
no,
totally different thing.
It's totally different. It's about love and emotion and kinship and connection and stuff like that. Three episodes. It's
absolutely
on Netflix. It's got a podcast that goes even deeper on this stuff. Jeff is very multi-level marketer. Okay. Jeff is like door-to-door salesman. Jeff is like he's
and how old is he? Like in his 40s?
Mid-20s.
Oh, he's young.
Mid to late 20s in this, I think.
Wow.
He's a fucking baby, dude.
And when did this all get broken up?
They don't really have a lot of background in it. They're just introducing you to the people who have been affected.
Okay. And this is just like a 2-hour documentary?
Yeah, but 2.5.
Or is it a series?
It's 3 episodes. Okay. 40 minutes an episode.
Okay.
I give it a solid, like, 8 out of 10 plenty of fishes. Like, 8 out of 10 Tinders, because that's where these people should be fucking going.
Yeah.
Right, like they're just, and it's a
8 out of 10 Dianetics classes.
8 out of 10 readings. 8 out of 10 Thetans.
Phaetons or whatever they call them. Phaetons or Phaeton, yeah.
So, yeah, it outrages you because you're just like, you're a fucking idiot. You're a fucking idiot.
8 L. Ron Hubbard offices.
So
you know when you go to the Scientology, have you ever been to the Scientology places?
I've walked by and I've never walked
in. Have you ever
in.
Actually gone in?
I've wanted to.
Okay, so I have. So I
did someone pitch you?
No. So this is years ago. So years ago, I went to their website and I filled out the thing, and then they called me and said, "Hey, do you want to?" You said you're interested. I said, "Yeah, bring me down." So they go down and you do the online test and all that, and then they go through it and they talk about all the stuff. And it's like a basic, almost like a Myers-Briggs kind of thing.
Sure.
And it's actually pretty spot on. They're going through it and you're like, "Oh, this is like pretty much like
I'm an introvert,
or an extrovert, or
I like heavy blankets."
You know what I mean? You know, like you know what's you know I'm an ENIJ or whatever the fuck that is, right?
Yeah.
But it's like their version of it. But then they get you to watch this fucking video, and I was watching the video, and the whole time I'm watching the video, I'm like, "Please don't brainwash me. Please don't brainwash me."
Is it gonna happen to you?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. But one thing they have is that every single like Scientology church, they have the office of L. Ron Hubbard, and it's like his office. So what the purpose of it was,
like a mock up in the
No, it's an office. There's an office in there with like a table and chair and like a bunch of different books.
That's weird.
And it would be that if Elrond ever traveled to any of these churches,
it would always be the
same. He had an office that was very similar, not exactly the same, but where he could basically just sit down and work.
And write
without breaking a sweat.
That's really fucking culty.
Yeah,
like to make sure that your leader has the same place to work everywhere.
It's a very like corporate hierarchy, like imposed on a religion.
Yeah, every documentary I've ever watched about it.
Yeah,
and that's what this is.
It's like if the Catholic Church really got into org charts, that's Scientology.
But everybody models off Scientology, though. Like, it's because I guess it's the most successful con.
Well, it's the most successful in that short a time period, right?
Yeah, because it's what, 80s? Late 70s? He started in the 60s.
50s. In the late 50s, right?
Well, the Philip Seymour Hoffman, the master, right? That starts in the 50s. But I don't think it really takes off globally until, like, the 60s, 70s. During, like, the Enlightenment movement.
70s
like,
and
the
80s is where
shit.
Where it got recognized by some Supreme Courts as an actual religion.
The IRS gave them their tax break.
And blah, 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 yeah. blah, blah, and all that kind of shit, right? But, like, I mean... Like that's pretty in the time scale of the world. That's pretty fast.
Yeah.
Especially when you like compare it to like if you look at like Islam, I think Muhammad, like it took him like his entire lifetime for it even to like really move beyond his friends and families. I might be wrong on that. I'm not a theological historian, but you know, it's pretty rapid.
He had to wait.
Exception or acceptance by enough people to make it a movement, so to speak.
What else do you watch?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I don't know.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm watching some new show called Glitch. It's some Australian show where like a bunch of people come back from the dead.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it on?
It's on Netflix. It just popped up. There's three seasons.
Are you daring? Like, do you just like, okay, this looks good?
No,
on the
sometimes
tile?
The algorithm comes up and I look at it and Michelle and I'll be like, oh, this is recommended for us and we try it and we're like, oh, this is actually not too bad. It's kind of our.
So you trust your algorithm?
To a certain degree, but our algorithm's weird though. Because we share a Netflix login.
Oh, so you change each other's, you change the algorithm of the account.
It's interesting, right? Because sometimes it'll like recommend stuff that I really like and some stuff that she likes, but it's also good at recommending things that we'll like enjoy together. It's kind of fucked up.
Okay, do you have different accounts within the one account or just like one?
No, we just have one login because I was sharing with so many people, I couldn't make another one.
No, I mean, okay, so I have one login, but Shauna has hers.
No, we have a Rob Michelle login. Yeah.
And you don't have a Rob tile and a Michelle tile?
No.
Wow. Yeah, see, Shauna has like all of her shit, which is like, you know, fashion stuff and animal shit and all that stuff comes up.
Yeah.
And my stuff is like everything from the 90s. Like it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And then I have one for my kid because you don't want to pull up kid stuff on yours because then it ends up with too much kid recognition.
It just shits all over you.
You're just like, how is there this much Paw Patrol in my fucking Netflix? It's interesting, right?
Yeah. No, it's a world of surfing tiles these days. Like,
totally.
I don't think I would like to meet someone who has attempted to watch everything on a platform. I don't care what platform it is.
Well, here's
but
the
I would
funny
like to
here,
meet that person.
Here's the funny thing about this. If you talk to me if we were talking about Netflix in 2013, I saw every single documentary on Netflix in 2013.
Really?
100%.
Like Netflix made or just every documentary in general?
Every documentary that Netflix had on available in 2013.
I find that impressive, but at the same time, it's 2013.
Their catalog has gotten... They only had about 25 fucking docs on there, right? Total.
Yeah.
Right? So there was a lot of times where like I'd be like, oh, I've seen every single one of these movies. Either I've seen them before or I've watched them on Netflix. So there was a point where Netflix didn't have any extra content. I was literally watching it just for Mad Men. And Breaking Bad.
Sure, yeah. You find your one and you hook to it and then everything else kind of falls into play after that. I was going to tell you, I read an article with...
that was probably 2011, 2012.
Sure. You'll like this. I read an article not Benicio del Toro, who's the director, Spanish director.
Oh,
Guillermo.
Guillermo. Del Toro.
It was Guillermo del Toro, Christopher Nolan, and somebody else.
They're talking about the physical media. Mm-hmm.
See that closet right behind you?
Dude, I told you, I talked about this 2 fucking years ago.
I know you did.
That streamers, that they will start making changes just like when
they will remove it from the
just
world.
Just like when they re-released E.T. on Blu-ray and they changed Terrorist to Hobo.
Yeah.
Right? So that's an example. And that's a small change, right? Now,
but having the original version of that, what Nolan said resonated with me, and it most shit that he says resonates
with
me because
can you find the new Willow series on Disney Plus right now?
It's gone.
Nope, they took it off.
It's gone forever though, because here's what's in tandem with that. Best Buy has just said we're phasing out Blu-rays. Corporately.
In-store.
Yeah, you're still going to be able to buy them online and stuff. But they are realizing that there's no point anymore.
They will still probably bring out a couple small releases from time to time, is
the
my
big
guess.
One. Yeah, the big releases.
They don't even carry a lot in store anyway.
No.
I think that's the U.S. So in the U.S., I think they still have a dedicated section to it. In Canada, they have like one rolling rack with a couple of things and a couple of dump-ins, and then they bring out a couple of the newest releases in 4K.
The dump-in in Walmart and the dump-in at Best Buy. But what I was going to say to you was... He said that... to collect... You are part of a curation of keeping physical media alive.
It's like owning a book.
It is. When burning books was a thing in a place in the world, well, it's fucking making a comeback. Also, not
everything is available on a streaming service. So the other night I said to Michelle, I said, hey, do you want to watch Stardust? She's like, yeah, I love that movie. And I was like, cool. So I went on the app and I pulled it up. And the only place I could get it was paying $5 to buy it on Apple Plus.
Sure.
It wasn't on any streaming service. And I have them all except for Paramount, right?
Yep.
And I couldn't even watch it. All my Blu-rays are packed and they're in the pod because I'm moving. So I couldn't even fucking pull it up. But I own that disc. So most of the time, like if I know it's a disc I own and we go, hey, I just go upstairs and I grab it.
I know.
Right? It's fucking brilliant, dude. And I throw my Blu-ray player, good to go.
I'm going to... Grant Park tomorrow.
Yeah.
Grant Park Mall.
Yeah.
There's a dude in there who sells.
Yeah.
And I'm going to furnish the fuck out of that closet, and I'm going to start collecting again. I'm going to go spend about $300-$400 tomorrow.
Wow.
And I'm going to. I didn't realize it didn't hit me, and I've heard you say it countless times, and I've heard McCarr at work say it countless times. For everybody who collects, that there is just something about having it, and it finally resonated with me. It's like if you have it and no one else does, and they want to watch it. You are curating a library with everyone else who collects, and you're keeping a thing alive.
Have you read Fahrenheit 451?
No, but I've heard.
Have you seen the movies?
The
adaptations?
What the fuck? It was what's his face? Creed, right?
That's the latest one. Yeah, that's the newer one.
But is that
so? The premise behind Fahrenheit 451 is in the future, the only book that you're allowed to read is the Bible and Moby Dick. And every other book
What a combination.
So firefighters aren't actually there to fight fires. They're actually there to go destroy books. And they go around and find caches of books and destroy them. But there's this underground group.
Glad you said cash, by the way. It's not cache. Anybody out there? It's not cache.
Cash.
Go on.
Cash. It's kind of like how you'd say caulk or cock.
I prefer cock.
I know you do.
Yeah. I put my cock all over my bathroom last week.
Yeah, I bet you do, you cunning linguist.
Go on.
So there's groups of these people, and what they do is a person will memorize an entire book.
I heard that. Oh, yeah.
Word
That's
for
their
word.
Job, to keep
Or they remember this part of a book, right? And then or there might be somebody and they're so good they can remember multiple books. It's kind of like the Book of Eli with Denzel Washington.
That's what I was
where
thinking.
Where he knows the entire Bible, and they think he has the Bible on him.
They buried the lead in that movie, because at the end of the movie, you're like, well, what book is it? What book is it? What book is it? And then he starts to read chapter 1. Verse 1, Genesis, and you're like, are you kidding me, man?
Well, it was pretty obvious. I
missed it.
You missed it?
Okay. I missed it the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I went into that, no trailer, no nothing, no...
But it was cool, too, because the version of the Bible that he had was in fucking Braille.
That's right. Who was the bad guy in that?
Gary Oldman.
That's right. Good old Gary. Anyways, I just wanted to tell you that I'm going to start collecting again.
That's awesome.
And I'm excited to do it.
I need to downsize mine a little bit.
Well, if you're looking to offload.
Yeah, because there's some stuff I want to get rid of.
I'll keep your collection
alive. And there's some other ones that I want. There's some that I'm missing that I really want.
Yeah, no, like some blue steels. And like I want to get into like hard finds and blue steels and originals and stuff. Like I'm going to be going
on. Like steel box, you mean?
Sorry, steel box, not blue steel.
Yeah. I have a lot of steel boxes. And I was like, Zoolander? Okay.
I can't turn left today, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you should have Zoolander. It's a fucking classic.
It is.
But you don't have Zoolander, too.
No. Nobody had. No, I have my pops of Zoolander, but I don't. Rob, my mom threw out my DVDs, dude. Like, she threw out everything when I left.
What?
Yeah, she long. I'll tell. There's a.
What the fuck is wrong with your mom?
Well, Simpsons. I mean,
she wouldn't let you watch Simpsons. She threw your. Who do you throw? Like, she threw them away, like in the garbage. She didn't even donate them.
I wasn't a good person at the time, so let's. Okay. Just leave it at that.
All right.
I deserve to have my DVDs.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. But I just feel like it's so wasteful.
I don't disagree with you.
I feel like she should have at least given it to the Salvation Army.
Listener, if you've been listening to the show as long as we've been making it, you know that my mother has stopped me from doing certain things in my life. I love the fucking woman. It was her birthday yesterday, so don't think that I
Happy birthday, Mike's mom. I don't know your first name.
This is Margo.
Happy birthday, Margo. Can't believe you threw away his DVDs.
Are we good on what we watched? Do we want to talk about anything else?
No, let's move on.
Let's
man.
Move on.
Yeah,
right, let's get on. Into the meat and potatoes.
Unless you want to talk about Dancing with the Stars.
I do, kind of.
All right. So what season of Dancing with the Stars is it?
33. 33 or 32.
Now, is that mean... Well, it hasn't been on TV for 33 years, but they do two seasons a year, right?
Yeah.
So
but I do think
so
it
that
was,
motherfucking show has been on the air for 16 and a half years?
I think longer because it's BBC originally, so I think they did it overseas.
That doesn't count. Nobody gives a fuck.
All right, fine.
How long has it been on air in America?
Yeah, like 16 years. Yeah. And like...
That's like saying The Office has actually been on...
Shauna's mom was a professional ballroom dancer when she
was
younger.
That's interesting. Cool.
So she's moving in with us for like a couple months while she looks for an apartment here.
Yeah.
And we've watched both seasons on Disney because now it premieres on Tuesday nights on
Disney. Oh, because it's ABC.
It's ABC. Exactly. You get it.
Is Carlson...
Alfonso Ribeiro?
Is he the host?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any fucking Carltons?
Of course he does.
It's so... Dude, like it's fucking easy watch. It's fluff. It's really fun to look over at Shauna and be like, all right, so the scores are 10-10, 9-8. And then watching some like hapless Australian reality star fuck up each week. There's been a huge ordeal this year over this Australian dude.
You lost me at Dancing with the Stars.
So Harry's from Australia. Let me see if I can tie you back in here. Harry's from Australia. He's from like one of those loving.
Is it so where they have like the professional dancer and they dance with?
Still.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Is Julianne Hough still in that shit?
Yep.
Okay.
That's Derek Hough's sister.
And Derek Hough's sister.
Derek Hough is a judge. Julianne is a co-host.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very easy on the eyes.
All right.
Harry came
She's
from
still dating...
Can I tell you about Harry?
All right.
Harry... I know what you're trying to do. Harry came from Australia. He was on some love and reality dumb TV show. He is horrendous.
Is he on that soap opera, that Australian soap opera that's been running forever that Chris Hemsworth used to be on?
Maybe.
Okay.
He looks like he could.
It's kind of like, it's like the Australian EastEnders.
Yeah. I don't know what it's called.
I don't know what it's called.
Cunts. That's what it's called.
It's called Criminals.
Yeah, exactly. He's been on the entire time.
It's called
time.
Giant Spiders.
Rob, I'm telling you, there have been people who have danced worse and been eliminated earlier. It is clear and evident that the Disney producers got paid to keep this guy on. Like, he was a tree trunk. The girl he was with, who was paired with, brand new 18-year-old, like, up-and-coming dancer, she would just swing around him.
Who is this guy?
Harry Childs.
And he's the Australian guy?
He's the Australian guy. He's been causing so much fucking havoc on the show. Each week, people have been trying to get him off. Finally, the Taylor Swift night, which was Tuesday night, motherfucker danced
so bad.
Was
Taylor Swift on there?
No, she couldn't show up. She's on tour.
She's too busy.
Yeah. But they did like...
She's too big a deal.
They went from original record all the way to like Eras and Taylor Swift Now and stuff and played all the songs. Yeah. It's enjoyable. My shout outs for anybody who's watching besides Rob, it's between Sochi Gomez from Doctor Strange 2. She played the girl running around in the time slippage with him. And Ariana... Fuck, she's from Vanderpump Rules. She was the chick who was cheated on and everybody was losing their mind publicly for a minute.
I hate everything that you're talking about right now.
I know, but the listener doesn't. So just put up with it for 30 more seconds. But my call is Jason Mraz. The singer Jason Mraz and Sochi Gomez will be in the final of Dancing with the Stars. I'm saying it here right now. And I can't wait to be right. And then maybe one day Rob will watch it. Shauna hated it. Shauna fucking hated it.
I watched a couple of like scenes a couple times. Like, it's a fucking terrible show, dude.
I'm not saying it's great. I'm saying it's useful. I'm saying it's
like
something...
I remember watching it a couple times when I had a girlfriend that watched it, or maybe I was at like my parents' house and like it happened to be on or something. Like, but like I mean, let me put it this way. I never set my PVR to record that shit.
No. Okay, and I just looked at the time. I'll quit bombarding you with it. But Jason Mraz is going to win, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, so as we mentioned, Ridley Scott, Napoleon is out this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already heard some early reviews. I know some people have gone to see it. We'll get into that in a second. But Ridley Scott, bless that grouchy, crotchety old 70-year-old man. He has been making films for
a
very long time.
Dude, he's 80 almost.
Is he almost 80?
I think so. Let's check. Let's IMD that bitch.
So while he IMDs the age of Ridley Scott, Napoleon is out. He's eaten a lot of shit for picking British actors to play French actors who attacked the British in a movie. Who gives a fuck? It's a big epic war movie from Ridley Scott that's out again. It looks very it looks like a modern day Gladiator.
I'm excited to see like the Waterloo scenes,
yes,
and that kind of stuff, man.
I just want to see cannonballs. I want to see sword fighting. I want to see I want to see the shit that doesn't
even. He was born in 37.
37, 97, 60, 70. Holy shit.
He's like 80.
He's almost 90.
Yeah, man. He's like Clint Eastwood old.
Yeah, but is he throwing chairs at people and yelling at them for no reason?
No, he was yelling at the chair.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Yeah, like Clint Eastwood was, well, Clint Eastwood's really old. Eastwood was born in 1930.
So, as we did with Martin Scorsese last time, we talked a little bit about when we first met the man's work, what it meant to us, where we were when we watched that movie. So we'll start with you, Rob. What was your first Ridley Scott movie?
My first Ridley Scott movie is probably... First one I ever saw was probably Legend.
Really?
Yeah.
I would
have been 5 or 6 probably.
Like Tim Curry is the devil, right?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise
is the elf.
So I'll put it up on
the
screen.
Is the elf. Is the boy.
And it's like you couldn't be more fantasy if you tried, right? Like it's... A young man must stop the Lord of Darkness from destroying daylight and marrying the woman he loves. This sounds like very Never-Ending Story to me.
It's fucking awesome.
Is it?
It's great. I like it. There's like fucking unicorns in it and shit.
What's Tom Cruise like as an actor in this? Because this is...
I liked it, but again, I saw it as a kid, right? So I just remember it being very cool, and I remember... And I liked Tom Cruise when I was a little kid.
Sure.
And
we all fell for the man.
And I've always liked fantasy. So it's just, and I know it's a movie that didn't do well for him and all that kind of good stuff. I would have been about 6 when I saw this.
It's got a 30 for a Metascore. Like, I mean, I look at this as a cult classic. He hasn't made a lot of cult classics.
Yeah.
Every one of his movies are amazing.
Yeah.
But like, this is something that resides in like the B movie cult classic world, the film festival world where you program shit and bring people in.
But that would be the first one that I remember seeing. The one that is probably the most standout for me from my childhood is Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Because that is probably my father's favorite movie.
I think it's everybody's father of the time. Like that
like I remember going to see they re-released Blade Runner when I was like 7 or 8 at the drive-in. I remember going to see it at the drive-in with my dad with my parents. And my brother fell asleep in the car and I watched it.
Fucking Deckard.
Right?
It's so
I remember
good.
When they re-released the director's cut in like 91 or 92, like my dad taking me to the theater to go see it with him.
Ahead of its time.
You know what I mean?
The shit that's happening right now with AI and future tech and all this stuff.
It's
like
Philip K. Dick, man, though. He's fucking awesome, right?
Yeah. Guy had his finger on the pulse at the time.
Have you ever read the actual book?
No, I've heard it's just fantastic.
The book is really interesting because they don't touch on some stuff in the movie. Because in the movie, they really they touch along a little bit with like the fake snake, right? And how they find that one snake.
It's been since my childhood.
I can't remember. What do you call that? Like anyway, it's a little piece of the snake skin.
Oh, the scale.
And the scale. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm brain farting on
the
word.
The scale's not real.
But the scale has had a serial number on it or a maker's mark.
That's right.
And they were able to find the guy that replicated it. So that's like a small piece of it. But in the actual book, the thing, everyone's obsessed about animals, right? And it's a status symbol. So if you actually own a real animal, you are a fucking billionaire.
Yeah, because they're extinct.
Because they're basically, animals are almost extinct, right? So most of the animals are basically replications, right? So not only are the humans making replicants, right? Which are basically android humans, but they're also super experts at making these fake animals, right?
That opening sequence of where they're interviewing the guy and they're trying to figure out if he knows what's going on with
the Turing Turing test?
The Turing test. Like, it's that, and I mean, everyone knows, well, if you don't know, listener, the Turing test is when you can't tell if you're talking to a computer or not. So.
It's a test to determine whether you're talking to a real person or artificial intelligence.
Yeah, and fathered by Alan Turing, the
exactly.
father of the modern computer.
Correct.
Yeah, visceral, beautiful to watch. The sci-fi of the time. Like, I mean, the
dude, it was so ahead of its time. I mean, the movie was made in, like, 81, 82.
Yeah.
And, like the CGI holds up, even though, I mean, he predicted, what, it was going to be 2015?
You know what's funny? You know what's funny to say out loud? It's, it made $32 million. Think about that for a second.
That's a lot of money for the
I know.
For that time.
Like,
that's more money than Jaws.
Like accounting for inflation and all that stuff yeah. now. But just think about like how successful that is. Like it's got a Metascore of 84.
Now, are you surprised it made? Are you surprised it made that much money though? Because it came out. So you basically have A New Hope, then you have, then you've got Empire, then you've got Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It's the right
and
time.
And then you had Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And so Harrison Ford is the hottest fucking actor in the world, and it's actually a fucking good movie, and it's the follow-up to Alien, which is fucking so fucking good.
Which is his, like, hey, I can make a fucking movie.
I can make a fucking horror sci-fi movie. That is the first true horror sci-fi movie in my mind.
I remember.
That was like a hit.
I remember sitting in the living room and seeing the trailer for Gladiator.
Yeah.
And my mom was doing her hair, and I ran around the corner, and I was like, they're making a movie about, and I think I said Hercules or some dumb
shit. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, I was so excited.
The movie is so good.
To see that movie.
Did you see it in the theater?
Yeah. Like.
What were you, like 10?
Something like that.
What year is that?
What was Gladiator?
90.
I was born in 82. That's 2000.
Oh, okay.
So no, a lot older. But I was still at home at the time. It was probably, what was I? I was 17 at the time. I just came running around the corner and
yeah.
told my mom. I was like, we need to go fucking see this movie. And just, like, you know, it's the ancient gladiator, right? It's the fallen soldier. It's the king's favorite who's thrown out of the kingdom and then has to work his way back in. Like, it's such a good story. But like, it was my first, like, I love big battles in movies. It was my first, like, really true, like, epic film, like, that I can remember. I mean, all the ones that I...
Are you not entertained?
Right? I say that all the time when people aren't having fun. Like, it just... And there's this clip that keeps popping up of Russell Crowe talking about, like, the first time they met and, like, hanging out. And he's like, all right, so he's like, I want... Ridley Scott says to Crowe, he says, I want you to look at... You know, I want you to look off in the distance.
No, you're. It's not the first time they met. It's the first
scene.
It's the first fucking scene.
Yes.
Where they're in
Germania?
In Germania, in deep in fucking Germanic tribe territory. And they wanted him to look off and those kind of things.
Yes.
Because
you know the clip.
He wanted him to enjoy the scene. I was just about to fucking talk about that clip. It's funny that you said that.
And then he says, you know, do this, look at the bird,
yeah.
pull away. So he's like, I do it. I add some color and some flavor. And then he leans over to me and says, you and me, mate, we're going to make some fucking good magic together. And
yeah.
like, it's true.
Yeah.
I
just wish Russell Crowe hadn't gotten fat.
I like big Russell Crowe.
Do you like big Russell Crowe?
I love him as a big drunk Aussie guy. I think, I mean, like, he's the musician that's in him now as opposed to the actor.
Yeah,
I like
curb stomping fucking, like, you know.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking
about.
But I think that was when I realized Ridley Scott, who he was, right? Late teens. Then I went backwards to Alien. And then I went backwards to Blade Runner and stuff like that. And really got into it. But like, that's when I was like, okay, this is a fucking filmmaker, right?
How long did it take you to, and this is just a sidebar.
Sure.
How long did it take you to realize that, like, that Ridley Scott and Tony Scott are brothers, and that Tony Scott did like fucking True Romance and fucking Top Gun and all this
and
kind of stuff.
Unstoppable.
Like, were you just like, what the? Like,
the
I remember when
Pelham 1, 2, 3.
I remember when I found that out, and I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. Anyway,
Probably around the same time that I realized that he made Thelma and Louise.
Did he make Thunder?
Days of Thunder.
Yeah,
that's Tony Scott too.
His brother made Days of Thunder, and he made Thelma and Louise right around the same time.
And that's what I think I like about Ridley Scott the most is that you can't, like, he does Robin Hood, even though it was bad. He does Robin Hood, then he does Black Hawk Down, right?
Yeah.
Not in order, but like,
yeah.
He jumps around. He wants to tell The Martian. The Martian is
dude,
so like,
dude, I was gonna get to that. That is one of my favorite movies.
Such an underrated.
The book is so good.
It's so fucking funny. I remember when it was nominated for best comedy one year in an awards category. I was like, what's so funny about this movie? I watched it. I was laughing. I'm going to science the shit out of this.
So the book, the first line of the book is, so I'm fucked.
Yes.
That's the first line of the book. And you're like, I remember I bought the book. And I was reading it I bought it at like a bookstore at the airport.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just reading it. And I was like, I literally read the entire book in one day.
That's a good book.
So I had a 4-hour flight. So I read it on the flight. I got to my hotel room and I read it till like 3 a.m.
That's insane.
I've only ever done that with one other book in my entire life. And that was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory when I was 9 years old.
I don't blame you. You want to know.
I stayed up all night until the sun came up. I was 9 or 10. And I remember my mom came into my room and she's like, are you still awake? I'm like, I'm finishing this book. And she was like, what the fuck?
My child's reading. I'm going to let him stay up. All right. So cast your first vote. What is on the absolute must have for you for a top five, Ridley Scott?
Blade Runner.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. It's got to be there for sure.
It's, again, as mentioned, ahead of its time. Super sci-fi.
Amazing
really
adaptation.
Amazing adaptation.
Like film noir, it's a fucking
genre
film
bending.
Noir.
Yeah. Sci-fi.
It's got awesome action.
Almost Cops and Robbers-esque.
Harrison Ford's so fucking good in it.
My cast, my first vote to get us to number two.
Yeah.
I'm going to save what everyone knows I should say. I'm going to start with what I love, the one I watch the most of, which is The Last Kingdom.
It's a good movie, man.
It's such a good movie.
So my question is, though, are you original theatrical cut or do you like watching the fucking director's cut?
I love the director's cut.
It's so fucking long. It's so gory.
There's so much missing from
it. Also gets into like the king of Jerusalem, like his character so much more. And you're just like, what the fuck?
No. And that's Edward Norton behind the mask, too. Mm-hmm. Which like totally slipped by me the first time. Like I'm like,
it also made me really appreciate how fucked up leprosy is.
No shit, right?
You know, like you're just like, what the fuck?
I swear in the director's cut, they give it when they take his mask off and you see him. I think they let it. I think they let the camera go like another five seconds just to get a really good eye full of that shit.
I dated this girl in high school, and her parents were from India, and she told me the story about when she was a little girl, they went to India, and when they had to go to church one time, all the lepers would line up
for
money.
Yeah,
and her parents were like, don't touch them. They're lepers, because they were all like missing fingers and stuff. She said it was fucked.
That is so fucked.
Isn't that crazy?
I really like.
Like, is that fucked up? She was like, I don't know, like 10 or something, 10 or 11.
I love every aspect of that movie, because it's about redemption, it's about religion,
it's about the Crusades. Is such a great backdrop.
Oh my god, and he's like, it's about being, it's the good knight, right? It's about what he
and
does.
And Orlando Bloom
plot.
Is so perfect for that.
He's so good.
And the
movie
was not as big as it should have been, coming off fucking Lord of the Rings and all the fucking Pirates movies.
Oh.
And I think it did okay at the box office, but it should have done better.
Let's see.
You know the problem is, though, dude, is it's 3 hours and change.
It's so big.
It's just fucking long.
It's so big. 47 million, 63 meta. Yeah, 47 million gross.
It's a good movie, man.
2005, yeah. All right.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's one of my top five Ridley Scott movies, but I do really enjoy the movie.
Yeah, no. It's one that I have to
It would
to
be
mention.
An honorable mention for me outside the five.
What's your second pick? Because we're going to argue for five together. We're going to...
Alien.
Okay, well, that solves that problem.
It's so fucking good, dude.
It's...
Do you know the scene? You know the scene where she's got the underwear that's really low?
Yeah.
So apparently Ridley Scott wanted her to shave her bush, but she refused to, and then she also refused to pull up the underwear higher. So he actually paid somebody frame by frame to airbrush remove her pubic hair so that they could keep the rating that they got.
Way to go, Sigourney.
It's like Sigourney Weaver is like, fuck you. You're going to see my bush, and I'm going to keep these panties
super low. Ripley says, fuck you, Ridley.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the xenomorph will go down in history as one of the best alien versions.
And you hardly fucking see it.
Right?
That's why it's so good.
It's the Jaws effect. You don't see Jaws until the final act. You don't see Xenomorph until the final fucking showdown.
And it's the first time they've done something like that maybe on like a cruise ship or like some type of ship or something, or in a building or something. But to do it on a ship in the middle of the fucking in outer space, like this mining in like there's nowhere to go.
Well, it's a
and what's the line in space? No one can hear you scream. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck? And I think my favorite thing about Alien is the fact that when John Hurt's scene where the alien bursts out of his chest, the only people that knew was the director of photography, Ridley, the two makeup people that put it in, and John Hurt. Nobody else knew.
His girlfriend or wife on the ship is quoted being like puking on set.
Yes.
Like it was so,
and so
real.
All the reactions of the actors is fucking real.
Well, it's like Goonies when they show him the ship for the first time, right? Like,
oh, was that real?
That was real.
No way.
He filmed them being brought in and got their genuine first reaction.
Fucking Richard Donner is a fucking genius.
Right? That's how you get kids to fucking act. You trick them. You trick them. But yeah, no. It.
I just watched that movie the other day. Lucy loves that movie.
Bishop, the cyborg.
Oh, yeah.
The backup plan to the spaceship. Like, and carrying
no,
that.
There's no Bishop in that one.
No. Who's the first cyborg?
That's Aliens.
Sorry. Who's the first cyborg?
I can't.
Ian Holm is fucking Bilbo.
I can't remember his fucking name. I forget the character's name, but it's Ian Holm.
Yeah, because it's Bishop, and then David Eight is the new one. Michael Fassbender is the new one in the Prometheus series.
Yeah. And that's why Ridley doesn't trust Bishop at first, because Ian Holm's character kind of fucks her.
Well, she realizes, I believe. No, it's in Aliens where she realizes that she wasn't told by Paul Reiser's character that there was going to be an android on the ship, and she loses her shit.
That's right. But I love the scene too, where they go down to the planet, and there's like the huge fucking
the big
alien
coil thing
ship
too. Yeah,
thing, and the alien the skeleton's there, and then there's all the fucking pods, and you're like, what? And it's so creepy, and you're like, fuck. I saw that movie way too young too. I saw it like I was probably like 8.
That movie scared the living fuck out of me.
My mom and dad said when they went to the theater, they were like, what the fuck? It was so scary and awesome. They said.
And Tom Skerrick. Right?
Fucking so good, man.
Like, everybody's so good. Bill Paxton's in that, too.
Fucking
right?
Joker.
Bill Paxton's in that.
Bill Paxton?
Is it Aliens or Aliens?
Aliens.
That's, fuck. I always.
He plays Hudson.
Hudson.
We're all gonna die, man.
We're all gonna die.
We should make her the captain.
Okay, so we got Aliens, we got Last Kingdom, and we got Blade Runner. All right, you took my second one, which I'm glad you took responsibility for it, because I really. I'm a little torn between stuff here.
Okay.
Outside of
you gotta talk. You're not talking into your mic.
Yeah, I know. I'm torn between Black Hawk Down and American Gangster. American Gangster, Lucas.
It's good. I wouldn't say it's his top five though, dude.
No, I know. But it's a really good movie.
Why? Because you like to see guys, criminals handing out turkeys at Christmas?
No, I like seeing a bunch of corrupt cops figure out how to find the good cops and then take the bad guy down.
Yeah, yeah.
I love like the entrepreneurial aspect of Frank Lucas.
Yeah,
you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
He took a really good story, a true story.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, Black Hawk Down is, I don't think you can watch, like outside of the top, like the big war movies, Saving Private Ryan and Thin Red Line and stuff like that, I think that it is a very good representation of what battle feels like in Black Hawk Down.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to choose between the two of them, I think Black Hawk Down is a better movie. It's better made.
He did such a good job of like covering every different soldier and having all of them, like guys who knew what they were doing, guys who were just making coffee, guys who were ready to fight, guys who wanted to go home. Like it really encapsulates.
It's also very contemporary because usually you're not tackling a war that soon or an event that soon afterwards,
it's
right?
The 90s.
You know what I mean? Like it happened in like I don't even remember when it like. Black Hawk Down was 01, I think. I think Somalia happened 98, 97.
Yeah. And then to make a movie like that close after.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
That
It definitely had a platoon feel to it,
yes.
But in a different way. And I love the filter he puts on it, and it's like, you know,
it looks like you're looking through binoculars.
And you feel like it's just fucking hot the whole time when you're watching it.
Hot,
like it's dry,
dangerous.
You're just like, and you're dirty and you're just fucking miserable.
The weapons in it, how they're like, you feel like you're humping along with these soldiers.
Totally.
He really takes you into that. So I'm going to go Black Hawk Down for my second.
Okay.
Pick. Yeah. So now this is the last spot. This is the top five spot here. So we're going to have to, one of us is going to have to concede to the other one here. Do you want to be daring? Do you want to throw out something random and put it on this list and get shit on for it?
You know what? I'll throw something out. I'll throw something. I really like fucking Prometheus.
Oh, hot take. Hot fucking take. I agree with you, though. I agree with you. I like that that's what brought him back. I loved how he went back to the same fucking...
I love the opening scene where you've got the androgynous, super-built white fucking creature. And, like, you know, he, like, basically, like... It's almost like he creates life, and you're just like, what the fuck?
Like, the idea behind Ancient Aliens, that there's a species of alien out there that created us and fucked with everything?
Yeah, Anunnaki.
It's exactly what he's playing with that. Totally, I love 100%. That too, right? Like, he drinks it. It's a mistake. Next thing you know, he creates a version of the xenomorph before it gets a chance to really
Guy
morph
Pierce
into it.
Guy Pierce is fucking great in that movie.
So good in it.
I mean, why am I brain farting on his name right now? Fucking Professor X.
James McAvoy?
No.
Patrick Stewart?
No.
Michael Fassbender?
No. Or sorry, Magneto. Magneto. Michael Fassbender.
Michael Fassbender's David 8. Charlize Theron's in it.
Yeah, yeah.
What's his face from The Wire? Stringer Bell.
Stringer Bell. That's right. Idris Elba.
Idris Elba's in it.
It's just great.
Isn't Danny McBride in it too?
No, he's in...
He's in the second one?
He's in the second one.
Yeah, you're right. Because that's when they go back to fix that mission. It's always fixing a mission. Aliens was always about fixing the first problem.
Yeah.
I dig it. It looked beautiful. I liked how they tied in the fact that on every continent there was some sort of alien-like scripture or art that they all figured out how to get to this planet. I thought it wasn't as rude or as blunt as picking up a lot of other series have been, right? Where they resurrect something and you're like, I don't know. The fact that he came back to do it, and he's overseeing the Alien versus Predator series, or the Alien series that's being made. I don't know if it's...
Oh, okay.
It's an Alien series. Okay. He's overseeing it. He's producing it, so he's got his hands in it. I don't know if I can argue you on that.
Dude, the movie's good. The only other movie that I would really like to put into this top five is The Martian. The Martian is a fucking solid movie.
It is. It's
hard to take it apart. It really is, man.
It's fun.
It's funny.
It's a space race.
It's adventurous. It has fucking Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. It has Mars, right? We're all going to Mars. We all want to get to Mars. That's the big plan right now.
Apparently.
So, I mean, and I don't want to be in the first ride. I'm fine hanging out down here while they colonize that shit. But like, just...
Is it your favorite Mars movie, though? What's your favorite movie that has Mars in it? It's my second.
Mars Attacks.
No. That's your first?
No. What's the one with...
Red Planet?
Is that the one with Ice Cube?
Oh, no. That's Ghosts of Mars.
Ghosts of Mars. What's the one with Liam Neeson?
Val Kilmer? Val Kilmer's Red Planet.
Yeah.
The other one is...
Liv Shriver.
The one with Gary Sinise in it.
That's Liv Shriver and Gary Sinise.
Yeah.
What's that one?
I can't remember. That's not my favorite. Can I tell you what my favorite is?
What's your favorite Mars movie?
Total Motherfucking Recall, bitch.
Oh, that's right. It is Mars. Forgot.
And that's, guess what? That's another Philip K. Dick movie.
Wow. We've come full circle.
That's right.
Martian or Prometheus? Martian or Prometheus? Like, it... just because I'm an Alien fan, I'll bookend this and we'll put Prometheus at the top there. It's a nice...
And you kind of need Gladiator in there too, bro. Gladiator's fucking great.
Do we bump Prometheus for
Gladiator? No, we need to make a fucking top seven. Think about what the seven would be. And this is why I said, before we started, I said, can we make it seven? So let me... And listen, why? Okay, Alien.
Yep.
Blade Runner.
Yep.
The Last Kingdom.
Yep.
Gladiator.
Yeah.
Martian. Prometheus.
Yeah.
And then I guess I said Legend, but I mean...
Well, you said Legend. Do we... Okay, so...
But you also... No, we said Black Hawk Down.
We said Black... There it is.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. There's the list. Okay. All right, I can live with that.
Yeah,
I can live with that.
That's a solid list.
I hope listener can live with that too.
They're going to totally disagree. There's going to be somebody there's like, I love Thelma and Louise, and that's a great movie too.
Yeah, if you like Brad Pitt's, you know, first real starring role, sure. If you like,
that's not the reason I like it.
Why is that movie good?
Why?
Am I missing because, it because I'm a dude?
Because it's a story of friendship and of a friend standing by her bestie who was in a situation that she needed to flee from. And then
maybe I need to watch it through a different lens.
And then they end up getting caught up in some bad shit, and then you know, they're almost like ride or die at the end.
They are, because they drive off the fucking
cliff. You're my motherfucking ride or die.
I get that. The domestic abuse part. Thelma, get your butt back here. Like, mm-hmm. I do understand all that stuff. I guess because
Susan Sarandon, Gina Davis is fucking great. Driving.
Susan Sarandon is such a smoke show in that movie.
And it's like, you know, and it's they're on aren't they on Route 66?
Yeah, they're doing the...
And like down down fucking, you know, like by the Grand Canyon and stuff. They're driving in that old caddy fucking convertible.
I think
it just oozes Americana too, man.
It is. And I mean, it's the road trip movie. It's two best friends on a road trip. They're, okay.
It's Brad Pitt.
I'm still not going to let it on the list, but I get why it's good.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Okay. All right, well, let's move
it's
in.
It's not on the top seven.
No, no.
Just like Matchstick Men is a great fucking movie.
Just like
Nick
God's...
Cage is so good in that movie.
I think the
making the like the tiny little fucking Matchstick Man because he's fucking crazy. Who's his buddy in it?
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell's so good.
Selling the.
He's so underrated. I was watching that scene in Jojo the Rabbit. Where, because he's Captain Kate, and he saves Jojo's life at the end.
He does.
They're about to take him, and he sees them moving the Nazis away, and the, you know they're all going to get shot, and he basically rips off his jacket and goes, "Get out of here, you filthy Jew," and spits on him, and then they're like, "Screw you, Nazi," and they push Jojo away, so he saves his life, and then you hear them shooting fucking Captain Kate. You're like, fuck.
I really want to watch
But Captain Kate's a bad guy, too.
Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler. That is one of the funniest jokes I've ever seen in a Tika Witch movie.
Dude, that movie is so well done, and the fact that he couldn't find anybody willing to play Hitler, so he's like, fuck it, I'll do it.
And he's such a... Is it wrong to say he's a good Hitler?
He plays a funny imaginary friend Hitler very, very well. Let's be honest, right? And the other thing is, isn't he half Maori?
Yeah.
Which is like the fucking irony of the two.
Right.
I think he put contact lenses in, though. Doesn't he have blue eyes? Because he has brown eyes in real life. And I think he has blue contacts in the movie. But I can't remember right now off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's a deep dive.
That's a great shot movie, too. Because I don't know if you ever noticed, but there's lots of like scenes with his mother where she'll come into the frame and it's always showing her shoes. And then the scene where he sees her hanging, and he's standing there, and her shoes are hanging.
Yeah.
And she's hanging there.
I remember. Oh, that's so heartbreaking.
Yeah, man. I cried.
Yeah, I did too. It had me in tears.
That's one of my favorite movies in the last 5 years.
Okay, well, let's transition for a second then and talk about movies that people have famously walked out on. This is a list
where people got triggered.
No,
I just want to say something.
Sure.
Have you ever actually walked out of a fucking movie?
Nope.
I mean, I've left a movie only because my wife got motion sickness.
Sure, yeah.
And then
I was with a friend who was sick.
So we went and got our money back, and then we went and saw it 2 days later in the non-3D version.
Sure.
It was the first Star Wars.
Oh, that makes sense.
Like, or episode 7.
So, yeah, okay.
It sucked because it was Christmas Day.
I've stopped watching movies. But and it's only been one, actually. I will ride until the everything's done before I make an assessment. But Freddy Got Fingered is the only one that I stopped watching because it's not my humor. I did not find it funny.
Like you stopped watching it on VHS?
Yes, yeah.
That doesn't count.
I know it doesn't. But I'm just saying, I've never walked out of a theater. I've never gotten up and complained. I've never been like,
Daddy, do you want some sausage?
I just don't know why it's fucking funny. Like
it's funny.
You're going to have to walk me through it.
Freddie, where's your LeBaron?
It's
so ridiculous. And I mean...
It's Dude, Where's My Car funny? And I didn't find Dude, Where's My Car funny.
Where My Car is more over the top funny. It's just silly. And I think you had to have watched his show to maybe understand it. Like that time where they're like skateboarding and his buddy falls and like breaks his leg and his bone's sticking out, and then he jumps down and starts licking the bleeding bone. That's fucked up and funny.
That's performative.
It's
holy shit.
Fucked up.
Well, I remember the dead raccoon on the show when he brought the dead raccoon on the desk and just plopped it down and was like, deal with it.
Yeah.
But okay, so
can you imagine how bad that stunk? Like apparently I think it was like rotting in there for like a month.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Okay, so let's watch this.
Yeah, so...
So I've actually never walked out of a movie where I was just like, fuck this. I've always just soldiered through the whole thing.
So have I. And
even
and
The Postman.
I said...
Where I almost left like six times.
I went to... What the hell did I go to? Closer. in the theater. That's Julia Roberts, Jude Law.
Okay, yeah, Natalie Portman, Clive Owen. The love triangle one.
And like,
that one's not that terrible.
No, it's not terrible, but when you go in not knowing that it's about, you know, relationships and cheating, and you take a first date to it, and you're sitting there, and you're like, this is the wrong content for this evening. Even at that point, I would have been like, we should have walked out. I didn't. I was like, let's ride this out. Let's see. Let's experience it. You can't shit on it until you've experienced the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so
true.
These are some movies on a list from Movie Web. We're not going to do them all. We're just going to do some of them. I don't understand
Deadpool?
This first one. That's what bothers me.
So
here.
What was the reasoning?
Okay, so before Deadpool was released in theaters, Ryan Reynolds warned parents that it was not going to be a typical family-friendly movie.
Well, it was rated R. What the fuck did you think?
If there's anything to know about Wade Wilson, Deadpool, it says he does whatever it comes to mind. Yeah. He does not hold anything back. So when parents brought their young children, that is on you, parents.
That is on the fucking parent. That's why there is a rating system. And at the end of the day, if it's rated fucking R and you have kids under 10, there's probably going to be something that isn't really appropriate for them.
I don't know what goes through a parent's mind when, even in the trailer is questionable for children.
Absolutely. There's a restricted trailer, for fuck's sakes. There was.
Red band, right? Yeah, exactly.
There was a red band trailer because he drops the fucking F-bomb.
And
that was one of the first ones they ever did because we thought it was awesome.
I don't know how to feel bad for
you. No, fuck those parents.
Yeah, no.
Be a better parent.
If you walked out
of... That's like the parent that buys their 8-year-old fucking GTA.
But here's a question I'll ask for you. Would, if you took Lucy to this, and she was 10 or 11, right?
Yeah.
She's going to be there soon.
10 or 11 is different, though.
Okay.
I guarantee parents that had 6-year-old kids brought their kids to this shit. And you know what? My response to that is, shame on you. And it's a little different. Like, if I've seen a restricted movie already, I decide I want to show it to my kid, I know approximately in the scene where there might be a scene that I turn off or move over. Or the other thing is I can gauge it. Because if something was rated R in 1985, it might not be rated R now. Does that make sense?
100%.
You know what I mean?
The views of the people.
Absolutely.
The rating
agencies.
But
if it's a brand spanking new fucking movie and it's rated R, use your fucking head.
Yeah. No.
This isn't fucking Paw Patrol.
This is 2016, if we're being honest. Like, you should have figured something out. That said, let's move on here. Let's see if there's anything.
It's like
else
the people that complain that something isn't childproof that doesn't need to be childproof. And my response simply to you is, be a better parent.
So, have you ever heard about the house that Jack built?
No, I've never seen it.
So this was Matt Dillon's, like, I don't know if he was being experimental or whatever, but...
Is he a serial killer?
He is. The film centers around a man played by Matt Dillon who's a sadistic killer that specifically targets women so he can kill them by extremely graphic, disturbing methods.
Okay.
Comes as no surprise that the audiences were not... I have seen scenes from this. I'm not saying it would make me walk out, but it would make me very uncomfortable. It would ruin the rest of the movie for me if it didn't make sense.
And that's understandable because
there's a hammer scene.
Maybe somebody thought it was going to be as bad as American Psycho, and this probably is pushing that envelope because you're talking about 2018 versus American Psycho was what, 02, 03?
And
so this is probably pushing that further. That envelope further.
They definitely were playing in the same realm of a sadistic serial killer who's enjoying doing things to women. I haven't watched the movie. I'm not gonna.
And this is also post Dexter.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So it's just everything in that realm has just been pushed to the brink.
Clockwork Orange.
I get it.
What? Okay. What part? The part where
singing
he beats...
in the rain, where they're raping the writer's wife.
I haven't.
Yeah.
Been the same since I saw that scene. Singing in the rain always brings me back to that. Yeah. I'm sure it does for you.
Yeah.
I can respect that as well, too. It is a hard scene to watch.
When they cut off the fucking the shirt nipple and their nipple
shirts,
and their tits sticking out and down below. And
then
the
camera angle of the old man freaking out while it's happening. Yeah. And he's like grinding his teeth. Like, you feel you're there.
Yeah, and they kick him in the face. Like, it's a pretty fucking brutal scene. But again, it's supposed to be, it's the whole theme of that book is ultra-violence. And it's trying to paint that. The contrast, and it's brutal, and it's supposed to be brutal. And the thing is, the fucking trailer for this movie alludes to that.
Oh, so it's not surprising you in theater.
No, at all. Watch the trailer for this movie, and it's intense, it's crazy, and it shows you that there's going to be some shit that's fucking going to push the envelope. This movie was also in the early 70s, and this was when cinema was really hitting a dark stride.
Oh, yeah.
And the movies
in
the 70s are un-fucking real because of that.
There was no guardrails.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Everything else, I mean, can you imagine if they tried to make it with the book? Because I think he's 12 or 13 in the book.
He's supposed to be 13 or 14.
Like they made this at least high school.
But his friends were all like a little bit older. And that's why.
Oh, that's why he was influenced.
At the end, he sees them and they're like, and he sees his. One of his friends, and he's like,
a cop.
And he's married. He's become a cop. And they said, "Well, but you were always the youngest out of us." And he was like, "Oh, it's. I mean, really, A Clockwork Orange is a coming of age story."
Oh, it very much is. I love it. Right, right, right.
It's just in a fucking near future dystopian world. Do you want some Malaco? Malaco?
Okay, I'm sorry if you can't stand watching an ear get cut off, but Reservoir Dogs is not something you get up and walk out of. It's too much of a. There's too much of a buildup. There's too much happening between. Just two characters to want to walk away spite that fucking ultra-violent scene.
Again, the trailer was out. Now, when I saw this movie, I was like, you know, 13, 14.
Yeah.
I didn't see it in the theater. I saw it on VH on tape. We saw a trailer for it before another movie. And then the next day, we went to the movie store and we rented it. And it was fucking unreal.
Oh, God. It's one of the best cop and robber movies
ever.
But
I can see why there might be somebody that's triggered. Because at that time, that pushed the severity of ultraviolence really to the limit.
Did it?
Dude, like, putting the gun in his fucking mouth and just... And the tension of that situation. And Tim Roth is fucking bleeding out the whole fucking time with the gut wound and stuff. It's pretty...
Yeah, I guess I could take
you
for a ride.
And the whole scene is fucking white on purpose.
Yeah.
The scene is white. The inside of the fucking car is white. Like, it's just...
It accents the blood. It makes it look,
you know,
more violent.
I get it. But again, you know, you need to gauge things a little bit before you go in to see them. But you also have to remember, back then, you couldn't just, like, go on the internet and pull up a trailer.
No, you really...
It's a different world, right?
Have you seen Swiss Army Man?
Yes.
Find me...
I mean, it's weird.
The boner scene?
Like, or like when he's like, you know, like...
Riding him?
Yeah, it's kind of
like
fucked.
a man porpoise?
It's kind of fucked up, some of it.
Or is it fucked up when he's trying to recreate, like, the movie scene and the bus? Like, I'm trying to, like...
I mean, I would say it's...
This is an absurdist comedy.
It's awkward. It's awkward, but it's not a walk out.
No, it's not. Like, do you want to find out if it's all in his imagination, or do you want to find...
Can I tell you why people walked out of this? This is my thoughts. It's because you have Harry Potter in it. So people went to see this because
they
were like,
oh
my God, I love Daniel Radcliffe. I love Harry Potter. And they were thinking it was going to be something like that.
But this is so far away from Harry Potter. Like, this is 2016.
But people don't think that way, bro. Most people don't pay attention to cinema. So they, in their mind, they're like, oh, Daniel Radcliffe is Harry Potter. This is going to be a fun indie movie, and I get it.
Yeah, I it's one of my favorite absurdist comedies. I enjoy that. Like, Paul Dano can do no wrong in my eyes. The guy, I went and saw Dumb Money.
Okay.
And it's almost like he just sat on YouTube and watched how, like, low-end content creators make channels, because he was such a believable, like, little guy on YouTube trying to get people to pay attention to him. He did such a good job at it. So, like,
well, he's a character actor. That's what I like about him.
He is. I think he's the new Sam Rockwell.
He's not as handsome, though.
No, no, no. And can't dance as good as Sam.
No.
So can Sam's dance in Iron Man? It's so good. It's so,
so good.
Okay, last one on this list, and then we'll move on to some news bits here. I get The Exorcist.
I can see this one.
I get it.
You got to remember at the time.
73.
And the other thing is like, think about how much more religious society was 50 years ago.
Oh, totally.
And, you know, it really pushed the envelope for a lot of Catholics that probably went and saw this. The puke scene.
Cross scene.
Like, dude, there's some...
The spider scene.
There's some fucking heavy shit in this.
The turning the head scene.
But can we both agree that Max von Sydow is fucking dope?
He's the shit. Like, the power of Christ compels you.
Compels you.
Compels you. No, it's
fucking falling down those fucking famous stairs in Boston. Oh God, the movie's so dark. It's so good.
It will forever be in my...
I want to watch it. It's so good. It's
I
so did, good.
I think I'm gonna put it on after. Yeah. Just as background, you know, noise. Yeah. All right. Well, there's your list, listener. We'll throw it up in the show notes for you if you want to look at it after. There has been some news this week.
What's the news?
So one of the news articles I pulled was from Hollywood Reporter. Tim Burton has no plans for a Nightmare Before Christmas prequels, sequels, or reboots. The filmmaker shut down the idea in a recent interview, saying, "I've done all that shit right. I don't want that to happen to this.
But Disney owns the rights.
Do you think he has no say in it?
I think he must have something in his contract with it. Because, I mean, there's that reoccurring story arc with all of his movies, from Frankenweenie to, you know what I mean? Where, you know that theory, right?
Coraline. No, it's all the same universe?
That the kid from Frankenweenie
is Jack?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't
know. Right,
because
the ghost is like a little dog and
Oh. Frankenweenie's a ghost dog in Nightmare Before
Boom!
Christmas.
Wow.
Holy Oogie
and
Boogie.
I think there's like four or five of them, and they all, I can't remember, I read about it and I was like, huh? Huh? Oh. Oh, this is a great movie, though. I only ever watched it once when I was like a teenager, and I was kind of like, wasn't really into it. But since now I've got a kid, we watch this on a fairly regular basis, and I've really learned how great of a movie it truly is.
I
didn't appreciate it for what it was at that time, because I thought I was maybe too old for it.
Story but aside, it's, animation
it's
alone.
It's so, the story's fucking solid.
I know, but story aside, visually stunning, right? Like 3 to 4 years to make this thing.
Was that long?
Yeah.
With the stop motion? That makes sense.
I think Guillermo del Toro took 2 years on Pinocchio for Netflix, and that's now. So can you imagine back then when he made this? And like, it's not a Tim Burton directed by. It's a Tim Burton production.
Oh, was he produced it?
He just produced it.
Oh, I thought he directed it.
No. And then Danny Elfman singing instead of the guy who played him. Like, there's so many behind the scene things on this one that like
this
all fell into
Halloween.
Place. This is Halloween. I have a
Halloween.
Nightmare
Halloween.
Before Christmas chess set.
This is Halloween.
It's just, it's a Christmas movie. You can watch it twice a year. You can watch it in October. You can watch it in December. You
we
can watch it Tuesday afternoon
dude, we
for
watch
no
it
fucking
in the,
reason.
We watch it in the summer sometimes.
No,
man.
I know, but it's just fun. It's the perfect Christmas spirit for something that's a little
But it's
outside.
Also spooky.
It is.
Because my daughter, I don't know what it is about my kid. She's like, I want to watch a ghost story. I want to watch something spooky. And I'm like, can we just watch Nightmare Before Christmas? She's like, yes!
Talking about the R-rated stuff with Deadpool, this allows you to go to a theater, enjoy something that's artistic, while at the same time the kid's sitting there being like, more Oogie Boogie, more Oogie Boogie.
But it's still kind of spooky.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. A lot of kids like to be like, they like kind of like the creepy kind of spooky, but you can't go too far.
There's no jump scares. It's
like,
just
like,
weird.
I can tell you, I know my kid is going to love The Lost Boys. She's a little young still.
Yeah.
Right?
But when she gets there.
Yeah, like sometimes
she'll
be Kiefer. Like sometimes she'll be like, "Daddy, can you put on like spooky music?" So I always put on that one song from the Lost Boys soundtrack.
I think I know the one you're talking about. You take a look at it.
Yeah.
For Tim Burton,
it's got the organ in it.
I think I heard him say in another article, he's like, "Get off my lawn" when it came to this. Like it's disgusting because
Cry Little Sister, that song.
Cry Little Sister. Yeah. Yeah. I am starting to see, like, I'm up for anything. I'll go see anything. If it's a sequel, fine, I'll put up with it. But like,
I'm excited about Beetlejuice too.
I'm so excited about Beetlejuice too.
Like the fact that the whole cast is being reprised,
the whole gang,
they're all there. Like, fuck, man. Like, Michael Keaton deserves to just be bigger than he is.
He really does.
He's so fucking great.
He's so good at whatever he does. He's the founder. He's the guy who made McDonald's, and he's Beetlejuice.
He's Mr. Mom.
He's Mr. Mom. He's Multiplicity, right? He's Batman, right? Like who is this guy?
What was the movie that he's in where they're the car company and they're all the engineers? They get laid off and they get rehired. The Japanese come and buy the car.
Fuck, I know.
It's so fucking funny. It's good. Anyway,
I'm just starting to see that you're not only pissing off the people who've made it because you're stepping on their legacy.
Yeah.
Right, like we're only going to remember the last thing we see, so we're going to remember Nightmare Before Christmas.
Most of the times, a sequel to something that is so iconic always falls on its flat. Like, think about all the sequels that have been bad. Like, think of one of your favorite comedies of all time. Mine is Anchorman.
And
Anchorman 2 is so bad.
Dumb and Dumber 2 was like that too.
Dumb and Dumber 2 is bad. Zoolander 2 is bad. Like, it's just
It's like they're banking on the nostalgia for the parents, and then they're trying to incorporate the kids into this thing, and they're thinking that a dad will want to take his daughter or his son.
Like, you can't make a sequel to Hot Tub Time Machine.
No.
It's
Great White Buffalo.
It's fucking perfect.
Great White Buffalo. Great White Buffalo.
But what happened in Cincinnati?
I, but I'm starting to see it.
Would you like a Chernobyl?
What's a Chernobyl? Are you Hunter S. Thompson? That's one. But like,
it's like the Terminator.
Well, what's amazing is John Cusack was friends with Hunter S. Thompson, so that joke, like that breaks into real life. Oh yeah, him and they were tight. John Cusack and Hunter S. Thompson and Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp was too. Like Johnny Depp, like
lived with the man.
He had to get in there though. At first, Hunter S. Thompson was like, "Fuck you." So Johnny Depp actually paid for his funeral, eh?
Yeah, he blasted him off in space.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I guess Hunter S. had run out of money by that point.
My point is that it's insulting not only to the creator, but it's insulting to your audience that you're thinking that you can keep going back to the same well over and over and over again. And now we're saturated with like, let's reboot everything. I was game for reboots and remixes and restarts. I was fine with it when they first started because I was like, okay, I'm going to get a dose of medicine that I like the way it goes down. I know it.
Name
I'm familiar,
a good reboot in the last 15 years.
I can't.
Think about how excited were you about Conan the Barbarian reboot? Because you're like, Jason Momoa can fucking do this? Terrible.
I wasn't. I knew it was going to flop. The
first 15 minutes, though, that opening scene with the young Conan where they're like running and they've got to keep the robin eggs, that's the fucking dopest scene and then it goes to shit. Another one, Total Recall, has a great fucking opening of the new one.
Oh, Colin Farrell, yeah.
Goes to shit.
It's too programmed. Right,
mm-hmm.
You want a program like that?
Mm-hmm.
Run a film festival. Mm-hmm. Make original fucking stories.
Totally.
Anyways.
Or build something adjacent to it within the universe, like a fucking Rogue
Sidestep
One.
It. Yeah,
like a Rogue One.
Rogue One is perfect.
Perfect. That is actually a perfect fucking movie.
And the fact.
I love any
ends.
Movie where there's an embrace at the end as the two get obliterated from the world.
Well, and at the end,
as they turn into pink dust.
They finally showed you how evil Vader was in the end of that movie.
Yeah,
that and like it literally is like,
and it ties in very well with the Obi-Wan series,
right into New Hope, right? Yeah. Like you're literally dovetailing right into New Hope. Last bit of news before we
and it fixes a plot hole.
Which one?
I don't know.
Okay. Last bit of news before we go. This is a thing now. The SAG strike's over. Everybody's back to work. They did have to make some concessions. I talked about this in the last episode.
What was the concession?
Well,
I haven't really looked into this.
So there is. I don't know if a full set of.
So they get some royalties from streaming, but not on the par of like. Of what it used to be?
Nowhere near the theater deals, right?
But the reality is stuff is shared so crazily across so many platforms, you can't expect the same cut.
Yeah.
It's when the studio isn't making the same amount of money, it all has to be proportional.
And I agree with you on that. Yeah. And I think they came to that understanding
perfect.
Too.
So that's great.
They met with a 90-day window of original release. Hitting certain metrics increases your payout.
Perfect.
So it's encouraging anybody who's on a streaming show or a streaming movie to share the word and get it out there and promote it so that more people watch it so that you make more money on the back end, right?
That's fair.
So that's that. The AI stuff is dark and weird and is very Black Mirror. The terminology is natural performance versus digital performance.
I agree with that.
And I mean, Matthew Modine.
How's that going to work? Can I have a question with that, though? How does that work on a movie like Avatar or a movie like King Kong?
There are
a movie like Planet of the Apes? Or how does that work with Andy Serkis and like say
when Andy
he,
Serkis, yeah.
Serkis when he played fucking Gollum? How does that work?
Those deals are already in place because he's impersonating, I believe, where the digital likeness is your Rob Strachan.
If you're still like the actor and you're acting, even though you've got the little dots on your face and stuff, and then they're adding things overlaid.
That's fine.
But it's still your body motions and your speech
CGI.
They're analyzing your facial expression and then
I'll give you an example.
Layering CGI on that's exempt from that. That's not considered a digital.
I don't know. The full ratification of it, I think, is out mid-December.
Is the digital more like a situation like, okay, so have you ever seen the Lord of the Rings animated
movie?
Yeah. So they actually, what they did is they filmed guys doing fight scenes and then overlaid
It's not that.
Animation over top of it. No. Is that kind of what the digital is like? So you could have a person who just like does a scene and then they would overlay Bruce Willis's face and likeness on that.
No. So,
because he did sell his digital rights.
He did. Yeah. So did Howie Mandel.
Really?
To a Chinese company that builds holograms. So he can do comedy from his house. Steps into a booth. Hologram boots up.
Can we get Monsters 2 then?
I would fucking love an over-the-shoulder boulder holder if I could get my hands on some nachos under the bed. No, what it is if Rob Strachan is hired to play a part.
Okay.
And I film Rob Strachan playing that part. Well, now I've got Rob Strachan as himself. If I take Rob Strachan, who is as that actor, and then I go and put you into another movie that you are not working in, that is your digital likeness.
But use your digital likeness.
That is what it is.
So you get a piece of that.
That is what it is. So if you consent to that, then you would get paid for the same amount of time that an actor would on set that day if you're using me in another performance. So say I'm in this movie and you film me and then you want to use me. This is a romantic comedy and you want to use me in an action. So you take my likeness from the romantic comedy and you insert me into the action film.
Mm-hmm.
That is my understanding.
Interesting.
That I've read. It's very... filled with law terms.
I'm really curious where this is all going to go, and I feel like we're going to get into this thing in Hollywood, and Nolan is going to be a big proponent of this, where it's going to be purists, right? And I think even the guys that are really digital-centric, like...
everybody today?
But especially...
David Fincher?
Fincher. Even Fincher is going to be a...
well, I think Fincher still falls into the purist form. He's just going to be a digital photographer.
He likes digital photography, but he's going to be a purist when it comes to acting and using actors and those kind of
things. Francis Ford Coppola, Ridley
and
Scott.
I feel like that. I just worry that this AI thing is just going to accelerate this. There's too much shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember when they would make, there'd be 150 movies a year.
Yep.
And I literally...
Now there's probably almost triple that.
Like, there was a time where I watched every single movie that came out every year.
Yep, I remember those days.
There might be a handful that I would miss, but I would walk through...
You could see everything you wanted to see.
I would walk through a Blockbuster, and I saw every main movie, and then they would have that section that was like the one-offs, and I'd seen almost every single movie there, too.
And then the special picks section.
Like, I'd seen it fucking all.
Well, this
And then I worked at a video store for 6 months, and I watched everything that I'd missed.
This whole conversation leads to, Thanksgiving Day weekend in America right now, and so happy Thanksgiving, everybody, when you listen to this. Sorry for the lateness, but Disney released the House of the Mouse, Mouse of the House. They released a Thanksgiving Day image with their characters in it, Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Pluto, and it's AI as fuck. Like, it is...
It looks AI.
It is AI. It is confirmed AI, and my question...
It actually looks like if, like, Chinese pirators were trying to, like, make something, that's what it looks like to me.
On a computer from 10 years ago.
It just has a look to it that you could just tell that it's not that.
It's not what you've been trained to look at by Disney, even in Pixar's purest form, which is just high-end animation.
Are we seeing the Mandela effect? Just kidding.
Oh, yeah. But my problem is that if Disney's taking the lead, then every other animation house is going to be like, well, Disney got away with it. And that's the problem, is that you would think that a company based on invention of animation with using different cells layered over top of each other. If you go to Disneyland, you can go see how Walt did it.
Yeah.
And it's fucking insane how they came up with it.
But at the same token, that's not practical. I think there's a place for the AI in this, though, is that if you can have an original artist kind of draw and show things and basically have the AI fill it in by using that likeness, I think that that's a powerful tool.
That's the meaning of two minds.
Lowering the cost of these animated movies to make them better.
I'm not saying we.
But
go
I
back
feel like we're
stills.
Almost doing that already. It's just the AI is just gonna just it's gonna cut out a few more animators.
I'm fine with an AI background, but when it comes to the primary characters, and even knowing that Mickey is now designed in a computer instead of somebody on an iPad, and they're trying to, you know, they're trying to get the fine lines down, and they're making sure the eyebrows are right and the nose is right. Like, this looks like a photocopied Xeroxed attempt at a Disney idea.
It's like he was made out of plastic.
Yeah.
And you put him in the microwave for a little bit and then took him out.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have that friendly animation
It doesn't have a softness to it. It's missing something.
It is. And I'm just like, if this is where we're at, like, I love Disney I'm a huge fan of Pixar, but like, if this is where we're going, I might just have to go back to the VHS copies and stay out of the new shit.
Steamboat Willie?
Yeah. Well, not that far back, but like The Rescuers Down Under and 101 Dalmatians, like the masterpiece classes, right? Like this just like, look at Goofy. Look at him. It doesn't even like, it looks like, you know, when you go to like a Disney store and they've got like the plastic model of the character.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it totally does.
It does. And that's the thing, is that a human goes, this doesn't look right.
Also, Mickey seems too tall.
Yeah, he's broad too.
And it's like
a human.
It's like a human with like a giant plastic Mickey head on it.
Well, and what you don't get,
that's what it looks like.
What you don't get with AI is, okay, so we plug in what we want, we hit enter, and it spits out what we want. And if we don't like it, we just hit that enter button again until we get something close enough.
Yeah. It makes small iterations.
With a human eye, somebody somewhere is feeling that this isn't right yet.
Yeah.
With a human eye, someone is going, we need to one more pack. Give me some more time, right? The computer program goes, I'm perfect, I'm infinite, and you've told me what you want, and now you're going to get that kicked right back out to you.
Yeah.
And you lose the, like a record.
Are they like eating Donald Duck in this? Is that why they've cut the image so you can't see?
No, I can't. I don't know why they cut it. Like, whatever's cut looks like shit.
It's
kind of
like that Donald Duck episode where he's eating a turkey. But he's a duck.
And then he runs around with the turkey on his head?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. That's dark. Feeding a duck a turkey?
I mean...
It's all foul.
Desperate times, I mean, I would eat a human if need be.
Oh, I'd alive that shit.
Yeah. You know how they'll take like pig organs and transplant them into humans sometimes?
Yeah, like a heart or a lung or some shit.
Or skin and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, pigs and humans are pretty close. So I assume that probably a human tastes something similar to pork.
That's what the people on Alive said. Was that it? That's why it was so easy.
Really?
Yeah.
I did.
There's a podcast.
Seriously?
I'll send you the podcast. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't even know that's what it said. It's hilarious. All right.
That's why it was tolerable.
Yeah.
But one person went outside.
That's why I believe big food and big pharma are fattening everybody up, because they're basically, what you're doing is you're marbling humans for when the aliens come and devour us.
Will you?
So I won't get eaten because I'm probably skinny and like my meat's too tough.
Yeah,
but some of these delicious fat little children.
I feel I would be a buffet for an alien.
Nah, you're too old now though. Like,
oh, okay.
they want those like chubby, you know, 18 year
triple A marble.
Like,
shit.
You know, I'm full of chocolatey goodness.
Oh shit!
Who was the fat German kid in Charlie?
Augustus Gloop.
They want Augustuses all day. They're like, all perfectly marbled. Mm.
Oh, look at that rendered fat. Oh. It tastes like chocolate.
I'm getting hints of chocolate and hazelnuts.
Yeah, like a dark chocolate. Anyways.
Well, that went dark.
Yeah. It's us. Listener, that's all I got for you this week. That's it. That's the show.
How much longer until we bow down to our robot overlords?
I don't know. But before that happens, though, we need to sit down and plan out we need to talk about what the best conspiracy documentaries are, what the best alien shows are. Like, we need to go down a Tubi rabbit hole together.
Okay.
And bring listener, like, what? Because me and you are the ones that watch that. I don't know anybody else that watches that shit.
I watch all that shit.
I know, and so do I. Like, I fall asleep to that shit. So
like,
I am
obsessed about, like one of my favorite movies to watch is Zeitgeist.
I know. You gave me a copy.
I did. Well, because
you had 12 of them when you bought it.
Well, no, I bought 20 actually. And
okay.
And so people would come over and we would like drink it at my house. And I'd be like, hey,
you want to have your mind
blown?
Do
you have a DVD player? And they'd be like, yeah, I got a DVD player. I'm like, I'll be right back. And
I keep it in your backpack.
No. They would come over to my house and I had a bunch of them. And I would hand them out. And I bought a whole bunch of Zeitgeist stickers and I would stick them everywhere. So people would like,
what's a Zeitgeist?
Like, well, no, it would have the website so people could go right?
Okay.
And I would stick them like randomly in fucking like in bathrooms and stuff.
That's what I'm talking about. We're gonna go down a rabbit hole together, and everyone's gonna be like, those two guys are fucking conspiracy nuts, and that's fine because
we can talk about I can talk about 9/11 for about an hour.
Oh, I can do Loose Change all day, baby.
Oh yeah, baby.
Anyways,
Building
listener,
7.
Oh
yeah.
Don't even start.
We'll get deep.
I'm hungry. Listener, thank you so much for tuning in.
I'm hungry for some conspiracy.
Thank you for tuning into another episode. If this is your first time, all we ask is that you just subscribe to the show. That's the easiest and freest and cheapest and funnest way to support us, because we show up every week in your podcast player. If you want to follow us, check all of our social media in the show notes. I strongly encourage you to, if you're from Winnipeg and this is your first time, if you like trivia, if you like movies and bingo, if you like live podcasting events, we do that stuff. And we're going to be doing more of it as the new year comes. So again, like, follow, subscribe, whatever podcast player you're listening to. Smash that shit so you can find out what conspiracy theories me and Rob believe in the next time we do this. With that being said, I've been Michael Petra.
I'm Rob Strachan.
Watch all the movies, kids. Say bye, Rob.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you have any problems, dial information. Thank you for calling.